Merry Christmas. Good to see everyone here tonight. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I was discerning whether I had a vocation to the monastic life. First to the Trappists. I was close to a Trappist monastery in Spencer, Massachusetts, called St. Joseph's Abbey. But then I found this Benedictine monastery in Elmira, New York, where I spent two summers while I was in seminary trying to discern if I had this vocation to the monastic life, to the Benedictine life. As you can see, I discerned I didn't. But I really had more of a vocation to parish life, parochial life. But during that time of discernment, it shaped and formed me in many ways that I still carry to this day. While I was there for these two summers, one of the monks was my kind of spiritual director, spiritual advisor, spiritual companion. I would get together with him quite a few times while I was there. And whenever we got together, rather than sitting in an office or sitting in a chapel or sitting someplace, we would always go for a walk. If you find it interesting, when you walk with somebody, it's much easier to talk together as you're walking. So we would go for these walks. One day he came out, it must have been just after lunch, and he met me in front of the chapel, and he had two peaches with him. And he said, "These are really good, here, take one." And as we walk, and he said, "Taste this. Be sure to take a bite from the sweet side, from the ripe side." And I kind of looked at him. To me, it was a peach. I joked, I grew up in Yonkers, New York, an urban area. I wasn't familiar with agriculture or growing of fruit. But he said, "Oh, no. The side, the sweet side's the side that faced the sun. You can taste it. You can sense it." So I ate the peach, and it was delicious. One of those peaches. You ever have a really juicy peach? You kind of have to eat it like this because it just drips as you're eating it. And I ate it along the way, and as I turned the peach, it did have a slightly different flavor, but I'm not sure I had as much of a sensibility to it as this monk did. I don't remember to this day what we talked about on that walk. I'm not sure I remember much of what I talked about with him on that walk, or the walks I had with him, but I remember the peach. I remember the peach. I remember this idea that he offered to me, that the way you approach that peach can have a different sweetness, a different flavor, a different taste. Same peach, but how you experience it can be different. And that's probably had more of an influence, well, not the only thing, but it's had one of the great influences on my life in terms of my spirituality, in terms of my, what you might want to call, theology. There's always a different taste and a different flavor that's available to us in the same thing. Why do I share that with you tonight? I'd like to invite us to take this the wonder of this evening. I'm telling you, this is the third Christmas Eve service that we've been at tonight, and every single one of them has a sacredness and specialness to it. There's something about this night, isn't there? There's something about this story. There's something about this birth of the Christ. It's magical, it's mystical, it's something special. I'd like to take that experience and look at it as that peach. You may have had a common flavor and taste of this night, of this evening. And what I'd like to do tonight is perhaps offer you a different sweetness, perhaps a different flavor, perhaps a different taste for you to consider. In the early church, what we call Christmas wasn't even celebrated for many, many, many years. What we know as Christmas is fairly recent in the history of the church. Easter was the primary celebration, and still is. But early followers of Christ, those early followers in the decades and centuries following Christ began to engage with what is the meaning of this Christ becoming human? What is the meaning of this incarnation of the Holy entering into the world, this Holy becoming flesh, this Holy One becoming one who walks with us? What does this mean? What does the incarnation mean? We call it Christmas, but the theological word is the incarnation. One of those who really engaged with this was an early theologian and a saint called Saint Athanasius. How many of you ever heard of Saint Athanasius? Okay, good. Better than the seven. Better than the 7 o'clock. Saint Athanasius had this incredible writing on the incarnation, if you want to study theology, well worth looking at. Looking at this Christ coming among us to redeem us, to save us, to come among us and lead us to salvation through this coming into the world, into the flesh, and eventually leading to the suffering, death, and resurrection, the cross and resurrection. And that leads us to eternal life. Christ is our Savior. Over the years and centuries that led from that time, some of the work of Athanasius began to be interpreted by others. Some of it had a taste and a flavor that is very common to some folks in Christianity today. And I bet you it's probably one of the most common ways we understand the Christ coming in. Many look at it as somehow creation happened, and then there was that Adam and Eve thing. And Adam and Eve sinned. And somehow this all had to be fixed. May not agree with this terminology, but it had to somehow be fixed. And God needed Christ to come among us to save us from sin, to correct that fault, to make it better again. In a sense, it's an idea somewhat that Christ came into the world to change God's mind about us. That Christ came into, this is an exaggeration, this is not St. Athanasius, but this is how kind of it can lead to that. That somehow God needed a sacrifice to love us again. And that leads to many interpretations. This idea that you must believe in Christ to be saved. You know, we hear some of our brothers and sisters in the Christian experience, you know, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you accept him as your Savior? That with the idea, if you don't, you're not saved. That idea that Christ came just to change God's mind about us, that somehow we had been separated. Around 1200, I want you, here's the peach. Let's turn it a little bit. Around 1200 came St. Francis of Assisi. How many of you have heard of St. Francis of Assisi? Yeah. But what's not as known, I don't think, is his theology, his spirituality, his understanding of the incarnation. It's a different flavor. It's a different taste. To me, it's a sweeter taste. St. Francis and Franciscans who came after him, John Duns Scotus, one of the great theologians, presented this idea that the incarnation, that Christ coming into the world, was not done by God to somehow fix things, to somehow correct things, to somehow make it so that God could love us again. But Francis taught that it was always the Creator's intention. It was always God's intention to send the Christ into our midst. Always. It wasn't a result of something, the story of Adam and Eve capturing that, but it was always God's intent, the Creator's intent, to send this Christ among us to show us how much God loves us, to show us how much God cares for us, to show us how much God cares for this creation and the goodness of this creation. Francis captured the story in Genesis. Remember the creation story at the end of each day? What does God say after creating whatever it was created that day? It is good. And what did the stories say, when God created humanity, it is very good. Francis picks that up. That Jesus, the Christ, came among us not to change God's mind about us, but to change our mind about God and to realize how much we are loved and cared for. Can you get that different taste? That different flavor? Francis was known for his love of creation. In pop culture, some folks have statues of St. Francis in their gardens. You know, St. Francis is always associated with nature, with earth, with animals, with the care of animals, and appropriately so. Francis had a great respect for creation. All of creation is good, and we are called to be the good stewards of that creation, to care for the environment, to care for the world, to care for each other, and that this goodness, this love that God has for humanity and for all of creation is for all of creation. It's not just for Christians. It's not just if you accept Jesus into your life. It's meant for all of creation. Across boundaries, across nation boundaries, across cultures, across languages, across religious traditions and customs, this Christ is an expression of the Creator saying, yes, I love you. I care for you. Please come to know that. I offer that to you tonight as another taste or flavor of what we celebrate in this scene from Bethlehem. You know, it's also St. Francis who created what we know as the manger scene. Before 1200, in his life, there was no manger scene. That was a creation of St. Francis. And so much of what Christmas is, really, is a result of St. Francis, I would suggest to you. And I think it's significant to know what his theology was about Christmas, to grasp that, to taste that, to relish that, and to see its sweetness. So as we gather here tonight, I pray that we go forward knowing how much we are loved by God. There's nothing that we can do to separate us from that love. Nothing. Nothing. And we are called to love each other without boundaries, without limitations, and we are called to care for this created world together. So go forth this night, hopefully with that peach, and maybe taste that sweetness a little bit as you leave today, and sit with that, and think about that, and give thanks for the gift of the Christ coming among us. Merry Christmas.